Capeova Realty is family owned and operated, and Kay never forgets that you have a choice. Visit their website, www.sellingstlewis.com. Hurry into Sears Auto Center for great deals on America's most trusted battery, DieHard. Plus, take advantage of a free battery check at Sears Auto Center. See store for details.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
Crossed over.
Hey.
Yep, that's me.
Lauren?
You got me pegged, all right.
Is that Lauren?
Yeah.
Those are not very nice.
Lauren's got a lot of voices. Most of them are irritating.
Gold dust at my feet. On the sunny side of the street.
We're doing something a little different today. Something I normally don't do. Because I'm a weirdo. We're allowing a young lady to shadow us today.
You're a weird little Frank, and I don't get you.
Shut up, Lauren. Dan came to me, and Dan has a friend who knows a girl who goes to Webster, and she's studying, I don't know, communications or something. He said, can she come in and shadow for a couple hours? And I said, no.
Right.
We don't do that. Yeah. He said, she's really attractive. And I said, bring her in tomorrow. I changed my mind. And we don't do a lot of this, but... You know, you never know. We could change the course of somebody's life. This could turn her life in a direction that could mean wealth, riches.
Going to retail.
Because she'll see what this is like.
And she'll run from
it. She'll go to do something very successful.
Something successful, and we will have kept her from ruining her life. Would you please welcome, and I don't know anything about her. We're going to find out together how old she is and all that stuff. All I know is she goes to Webster. She's very pretty, and her name is Sierra Hancock. Listen to that crowd. Woo. Sierra, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Now, let's get the story here, and then what's going to happen is for the next couple hours, you're just going to watch us do what we do. And what you need to know is at any time, you can jump in. Because this is a show with no direction, all right? This is a show that has no – we haven't planned the day today. We don't plan any day. So if we're talking about something, you go, oh, I was there, or I had one of those. Just jump in, okay?
Perfect.
That good?
Unlike what you're learning in school, anything in broadcasting class, communication class, or anything.
Doesn't apply here.
No, it does not apply here.
Out the window.
Don.
Now, Sierra, you are how old?
I'm 19 years old.
That's my favorite age.
Yes,
how old do you think I am? And be absolutely honest. There are no wrong answers here. How old do you think I am?
Well, looks like you just turned 21 yesterday and had your party at the Drunken Fish.
Sierra. This is a show about honesty, and I'm dead serious.
Grandpa?
What? I want to know how old you think I am. No, and I'm really serious. You can't hurt my feelings. You can't.
All right. I'm not going to get kicked off after this.
No.
Okay.
Just your best honest shot. Because I'm always interested in people your age, when they look at people like me, what they think they see. How old am I?
47.
47? Wow.
She can come in every day for the next year.
Holy cow.
Now, yeah, I know what you're doing. You're playing it safe.
Playing it low.
You're lowballing it.
Almost 20 years low.
Shut up. How are you thinking? Really? That's not your answer.
Just throw him under the bus.
No, but you have a very young looking face. So it's hard to really say anything. 47 is what I'm going with. I'm going to stick to it.
And when somebody's bald, really, it's hard to tell
exactly
how old they are. It really is, because you don't really have the gray hair.
Well, you're low. I'm 52, and
I was close.
You're close. Good guess. Okay,
you go to older than you.
Yeah, you are. You go to Webster.
Yeah.
What year?
I'm a sophomore.
Okay, what are you studying?
I'm studying journalism and hopefully minoring in Spanish.
Really? How much Spanish have you had?
I actually had 4 years in high school, and then I took a class last year.
Ooh,
so, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien. I love Spanish.
Me too.
Hablo español un poquito. Yo quiero aprender más español.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Brothers, sisters, what's the story?
Oh, yeah. I have 5 brothers and sisters. I'm the second oldest. My oldest brother, he's actually working at Universal Studios in Florida.
Wow, cool.
He's a big Harry Potter geek, so he's working the Harry Potter ride, so it's kind of like his
dream job. I thought you were going to say he's a big hairy guy.
He's a Harry Potter geek. Actually, the complete opposite. I got hair before he did,
yeah.
So that was interesting. And then all the little ones, they're 12 and younger, so...
Now, when you say you want to study journalism, what do you think you want to do? Because at 19, you may think you know what you want to do, but when you get out there, there'll be things you discover you didn't even know existed. What do you think you want to do?
I'm hoping I can do broadcast, more towards TV, like a TV personality, something like
that. That's exactly what you should do. And I'm serious because you are pretty, and you would... Just in this couple of minutes, you seem comfortable in here. You don't seem silly or giddy.
Nervous.
Or immature or nervous. No, you don't. And I think you'd be great.
And having that Spanish, too, would open up whole other arena of jobs.
That's a huge asset. And I would say to you, just think on-camera video. Don't limit it to television, because there's a whole new world of video presentation, whether it's people's websites or sales presentations online or things that pop up on your smartphone.
People are making millions of dollars on YouTube.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I would tell anybody who has any charisma or ability to communicate, who looks either very unusual and is a character or is pleasant to look at, I'd say go for the video part of this business, because the audio part of journalism and the broadcasting business, quite frankly, it doesn't pay like it used to pay. And it really is limited to podcasting and I'm going to say talk radio. And the reason I say that is because music radio, I don't know how they're even continuing to make it, because most people put their music on an iPod, the MP3, they download it, they have it on their player, and that's where they get their music. They don't need somebody talking to them. And the jobs are becoming fewer and fewer because the demand is not there anymore for people to speak to the world on a music station. They don't need the time and temperature and the weather. It's on your phone. You don't need it. They don't need for you to tell them after every song who was playing it. So I think you're headed in the right direction. You really are. What have you done so far? Have you done anything outside of school?
I actually work at onstl.com. I intern there, so I do a blog. It's called Think Like a Tourist.
Okay.
So there I just go to different St. Louis touristy locations like the Arch, the City Museum, and then talk about it from like a Nashville perspective. So I've been doing that. As far as radio, this will be my first time. So
today's your first time on the radio?
Yeah, this is my first time.
This is big. We're honored. if you put this on a resume, don't put the call letters.
No, just
okay, that'll close more doors. Yeah. Just say was a guest host, co-host on a St. Louis radio
station. Charlie Brennan show.
Yeah, on the Charlie Brennan show. You put that on there. That's another guy at another station. You have any questions for us?
What is your favorite part about the job?
Going home.
We're honest.
No, you know what? My favorite part of not the job, meaning you can't apply this to other people in radio. The favorite part about what I do, but it really only applies to me, is that I have complete freedom and total autonomy. I don't really answer to anybody but the FCC. I don't go to meetings. And that's to the credit of this place, which we're at odds a lot about how they run the station and what's on the air and what shouldn't be on the air. But that's pretty much everywhere you'll ever work. What I will say for them is this. For as dumb as they are about a lot of things that regarding programming, they're smart enough to leave me alone. and they leave me alone. So my favorite part of this job right here, as it has been with the other places I worked, was that I was lucky enough to work for people who knew that I knew what I was doing, and they leave me alone. We don't have a meeting every day, and let's take a look at the second hour of your show. And when I walk out of here, I know if it was good or bad. I know when we do it. They do, too. Pian and Dan, you can feel it. You know this is not working. It's a horrible day. You also know when you walk in the first few minutes, like today, when you came, as soon as I saw you, I thought, this is going to be very pleasant. This is going to be fun, and you're going to be good. I'm really good at that. I have good instincts. So my favorite part of this job is that I get to do it the way I want to do it, and the only way I know how to do it, and
that's with
nobody telling me what to do. So, any other questions?
So then, what's the worst part about what you do?
The worst part about what I do is that, and this does apply to everybody in this business, is that it has become so difficult to get advertisers to understand that what they should really be concerned about is results. They should want to spend their money somewhere where they'll get response and they'll get a return on their dollar. And most advertisers don't know how to buy advertising. They buy on ratings. And here's the problem with ratings. And I'm really big lately on this ratings fraud.
Can we ask her if she's learned anything about Arbitron
yet? Do they teach you about ratings at all?
No, I haven't learned about that yet.
Well, it's important, and I'll tell you why. You do some work for the paper.
Yes.
All right, you see how big the Post-Dispatch is. What you didn't see was 20 years ago, because you weren't born, how big it used to be. The Sunday Post-Dispatch used to be so big, it took two men and a boy to pick it up. I mean, it was big, a big, thick paper. What's happened to the Post, what's happened to every paper, is what's happened here. Advertising dollars have just very gradually continued to go away and disappear. They haven't completely disappeared. They've gone other places. And now what's hardest thing about this job or any radio station is getting advertisers to spend money with you. And then once they do, getting them to stay. That's the hardest part of this. Honest to goodness, it's the hardest part of this business. It's not what do I talk about when I come in. It's not any of that. It's how do we get money. How do we get advertisers to spend money with us and be happy they did it? Not spend it and go, man, I threw that money away.
Right.
Because most people spend money on advertising. Most of the money they spend is wasted money. It just is. It's wasted. But they were talked into it. They were sold by somebody who convinced them that you should be on our station, our TV station, our radio station. You should be in our paper. You should buy billboards. Who do you think? Well, this is not a fair question to you. Do you even know what the yellow pages are?
I do, and the white pages.
Yellow pages are pretty much a kind of a dinosaur. Everybody used to go to yellow pages. When there was no internet, you went right to the yellow pages. Nobody goes to the yellow pages anymore. So here's one piece
now
of advice.
Now in 2 seconds in a Google search.
Yeah, here's one piece of advice. Yeah. Don't take a job selling for the yellow pages.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's much of a future. And I'm sure the yellow pages people listening don't like to hear that, but it's true.
Yeah.
We got yellow pages at Webster like 2 weeks ago, and I just threw mine right away.
Well, there you go. Nobody is going to use those. So to answer your question, the worst part is I've never had it be this difficult to explain to advertisers or potential advertisers the value in doing a little homework. In other words, don't take the word of a salesperson, because every salesperson, they're selling. I mean, the vacuum cleaner guy is going to tell you his vacuum cleaner is the best one, and the guy selling a TV is going to go, this is the TV you want, and a radio station is going to go, this is the radio station you want. If you're an advertiser, go talk to other advertisers who spend money with that station and have spent it for a long time and spend a lot of money and ask them why they're still there. That's how you buy radio. That's how I'd buy radio. Unfortunately, it's really interesting. We, just a few minutes ago down the hall, I talked to one of our salespeople, and he mentioned a client who, an advertiser who had switched all his advertising from one TV station to another. In other words, he had his client advertising on channel whatever. And then all of a sudden he moved it to another TV station. And the ad agency person that talked the advertiser into doing that was going around telling some friends about the great trip he just came back from out of the country. Well, that trip was given to him by the TV station that talked him into stealing the business from the other TV station. That's not how you buy advertising, and you shouldn't let people buy it for you that way. I didn't mean to get to, but I'm really, this is a thorn in my side, this whole way that people sell and buy advertising. You should look for one thing and one thing only, results. You want people to come in your business or to call your business, and if they do that well enough for you and drive them into you, you'll have enough money to take all the trips you want to take. You don't need gifts from newspapers or radio stations. Do you have any other questions? Do you have any other questions about just, and I know you're not really interested in getting in radio, but...
I like radio.
There are similarities. Yeah. Look, TV people mm-hmm. have to sell advertising too. Would you consider sales?
I actually worked in retail at JCPenney back home. So I'm not really sure if that's my forte, but I'm kind of up for anything.
You're from Tennessee.
Yeah, from Tennessee.
Born in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Humboldt, Tennessee. Google doesn't even know where Humboldt is. that driverless car couldn't even find Humboldt, Tennessee. I think if you pull the satellite camera and you went down, it would just have to be scanning and searching, trying to find that little nothing town. And then we moved to Savannah, Tennessee, and I know where Nashville is. You're actually in a prettier part of the state, but you're from where I was born. Going toward Nashville means you're headed toward the absolute most beautiful part of Tennessee, which is East Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous part. You have anything for anybody else? Any questions? And we'll just move on. And from here on out, you just jump in when you want to jump in. I may turn to you and go, what do you think? And that'll be a test to see if you fall asleep or not. and you may very well fall asleep. So are you okay? Do you need anything?
I mean, I haven't had my nap today, but I should be good.
And what you're doing, what happens with what you're doing today? You're shadowing us, and what happens to that? Do you write a report?
It's just basically what I thought about it. It's for a class we're doing, so she wants us to shadow and just see what it'd be like to work in radio.
What's the class?
It's radio and TV reporting.
Oh, reporting as in news reporting?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you have you spent any time with Colin Jeffrey, our newsman?
I have not. Mm-mm.
Don't. spend all your time with us.
Perfect.
Okay? We like you. Okay. He does not like women. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know what he's up there going.
What?
Yeah, he's having a fit right now.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
That part I made up. He does like women. All right, so I'm just going to go do my thing. You sit there. You jump in if you want to. We're going to take a first break, and you'll see how I make my living. By the way, an interesting thing about this show you might want to know: most people in radio are salaried. They're paid and underpaid. I might add. I get no salary. These guys don't work for the station. They work for me. And we get paid from what I'm about to do right now. Every commercial you hear me do, those advertisers, the ones I speak for, literally pay for all three of us to be here, the whole tab. The station doesn't pay a dollar. So that's something that you won't find anywhere else, because nobody in their right mind would agree to do that as a talent on the air. They just wouldn't have starved to death. And there was a time when I had a complete full schedule. In other words, I set a maximum. I will only do so many commercials an hour, because I think people get tired of you if all they hear is you doing commercials. So I set a limit, and then I won't do any more. And there was a time here when I had all that I could possibly do maxed out, and 10 advertisers waiting to get on the air. The good old days. The good old days started to fall apart in 2008. And I'm sure you know a little bit about that and what's happened to the economy and blah, 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 blah. Okay? I hope you learn more here now than you would in a month in class, because that's usually what happens. You'll learn more doing what you're doing today than you will in class. And one other piece of advice. I got thrown out of a broadcast class. I tried to go to college. Didn't work out very well. I got kicked out 3 times. And so I didn't finish. But one of the things that I did, and I'm telling you this so you won't make this mistake at Webster. Our teacher got up one day and told us that when we write commercial copy or news copy, that we should write it in all uppercase, that it was easier to read. He said, and that's how stations do it. And I said from the back of the room, that's not true. And this guy, and I still remember his name, but I'm not going to put his name. He was at SIU Edwardsville. He said, I'm sorry. I said, did you say something? And I said, yes. I said, that's not true. Oh, he says, and so I guess you know more than I do. And I said, well, in this case, apparently I do. I'm working part-time at a radio station, and I see what they write, and I see the copy that comes in from ad agencies, and it's not all in uppercase. I said, if you write something in all uppercase, you can't distinguish the beginning and ends of sentences. It's not as clear. You can't see proper names. You can't. And I said, and he said, well, he said, you know, that's maybe the case at one station. I said, no, because I've visited other stations, friends of mine. It's the case everywhere. And I said, you're wrong, and you're teaching us something that's not true. And I said, and this is where I really made the biggest mistake. I said, maybe this is why you're teaching and not working in the business, because you don't know what you're talking about. And his next words were, you, sir, are excused from this class for the rest of the semester. And he kicked me out.
Wow.
And that was it.
And that was your last day.
That's it. My last day. And my reaction when I walked out the door was, woohoo!
Did you get an applause from the class?
No, they would have all been kicked out. But inside, they were applauding.
Right, right.
They were silently applauding.
They texted you later.
Do you have $25,000 or more?
No, I don't.
Okay.
They didn't have cell phones back
then.
Yeah,
text it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's 19.
I'm just used to, like, popping
out. Let me tell you something, young lady. You know, there was a time when nobody texted. I know, and there was no texting. I know that's hard to believe.
They chiseled a note in a tablet and sent it to him later.
Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be very successful. I'm telling you, you can talk to my wife. May she rest in peace.
Wait a minute. No, she's not dead.
She's not dead.
She's so horrible.
Yes, it is horrible. Yeah, you can ask her. I have like a 98% track record. My instincts are very, very good. You're going to do real well. You really are. And then there's going to come a time when you're going to have $25,000 or more, and you're going to have to decide what to do with it. Remember this name, Mark and Jason. Remember this website, markandjason.com. That's Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. They're financial advisors. You'll call them and you'll go, hi, this is Sierra Hancock. I am a video journalist, and I'm doing pretty well. And I've now accumulated let's make it $50,000, because you have to have at least 25. But let's say you've got 50. And I need some good advice on what I maybe should be doing with this money. And they'll say, we'd love to meet you. And you'll set up an appointment, and you'll meet the two really nice guys who are really good at what they do. And they'll give you some financial advice, and you'll either take it or you won't take it. It's really up to you. But I think you're smart enough to turn to somebody who knows a little more than you do about stuff like that, and you will have that kind of money and more. And then they'll tell you what they think. And to the rest of you out there, if you have a financial advisor, who cares? Call them anyway. They may have some ideas that your other advisor hasn't shared with you. Maybe ideas you actually agree are better. Or if they agree with what you're doing, they'll tell you. They'll say, hey, you're doing the right thing. Keep going. Mark Reardon, Jason Becker, Stiefel Nicholas. MarkandJason.com. When we come back, more. Tell me how you think this sounds. More of the Sierra Hancock Show on the Big 550 KTRS.
Sounds pretty awesome. Let's check traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Hey, Letts. All right, thanks.
All right.
Right now, light on the main highways around St. Louis area. We do have one problem. It's on eastbound 64 at 111. You have an accident that's blocking the left lane. And then on westbound 64, you're slow from Baugh to the 5570 merge. They've got that down to one lane as you ramp on to 5570. Other than that, volume just getting going now. Southbound 270 from Manchester through Doherty Ferry. Westbound 40 right now looks wide open all the way out to the Boone Bridge. And westbound 70, a good run past the airport and looking good from there through Wentzville. And this traffic report is brought to you by Coca-Cola and the Walmart Deli. Get an effortless meal from the Walmart Deli with a 2-liter Coke, 29-ounce market-side rotisserie chicken, and 2-pound potato salad for $10.50 or less. Tax, deposit, and CRV not included. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Back Back in 1922, Warren G. Harding was president. The St. Louis Browns played baseball, and 5:50 a.m. went on the air. And the reaction was...
Sounds lovely, but we cannot see the person speaking.
And now, 91 years later, you can see the person speaking on KTRS-TV.
Between 6 and 10 a.m. weekday mornings, go to KTRS.com, click play on the homepage, and watch McGraw in the Morning on High Def TV. Yes, with four HD cameras, you'll get all sides of traffic, weather, guest callers, news, and sports live as it happens. KTRS TV at KTRS.com, powered by Taliesin Technologies.
This Thursday through Saturday, it's the Affordable Kitchens and Bath Warehouse Sale.
I didn't know that.
Know what?
That Affordable Kitchens and Bath has warehouses on sale. Well, I know they have 10% off all scratch and dent appliances, all cabinets, even custom cabinets, plus tons of closeouts, 10% off 2-centimeter granite slabs, 5% off custom 3-centimeter granite and quartz kitchen countertops, 25% off in-stock granite and marble vanity tops with the purchase of an in-stock vanity cabinet, free garage deliveries on orders over $2,500 within a 25-mile radius of the store. Designers will be on hand, but I didn't know. You could buy warehouses on sale at Affordable Kitchens and Bath.
No, the warehouse isn't on sale. Just the contents of the warehouse are on sale this Thursday through Saturday.
I knew that.
And chickens have lips. It's the warehouse sale.
Where almost everything, but the warehouse is on sale.
At Affordable Kitchens and Baths, 4600 South St. Peter's Parkway between Kisker and Central School Road. For more information, call 636-441-1550.
But do you know where I can buy a warehouse?
May I have your attention, please? If you're trying to lose weight, we need your help. We're Final Trim, and we have too much product and too few participants in our nationwide risk-free trial. If you need to lose 30 pounds or more and would like to participate, call now, 1-800-422-1482. Final Trim is a breakthrough in weight loss. Take two capsules just once a day, and you can experience maximum weight loss, allowing you to shed pounds in days. It uses natural ingredients, making it healthy and safe. If your weight loss with Final Trim is too dramatic, please decrease use and only take one capsule a day. Be among the first to call for your risk-free trial. Again, we have too many risk-free trials and too few participants. If you would like to lose 30 pounds or more by taking all-natural Final Trim just once a day, call now to participate in this nationwide risk-free trial. 1-800-422-1482. 1-800-422-1482. That number again is 1-800-422-1482.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-616-5339. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-616-5339. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-616-5339. That's 1-800-616-5339.
This is Bob Ellman at Golden Oak Lending. History tells us these low mortgage rates can't last. As the economy improves, they will go up.
But they're low today, and Golden Oak Lending can lower your rate to 3.25%.
What about credit cards? Are you paying 10% interest and more? It's time to stop.
Refinance and get cash to pay down your debt. Call Golden Oak at 314-567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 1149.37, 15-year fixed rate, APR 3.782 with qualified credit. 111 West Fort Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri, 63146.
Good news. The housing market is on the increase, and Golden Oak's mortgage rates are still at historic lows.
Use your home's new equity to pay down credit cards.
Call Golden Oak. We underwrite our own loans. We're FHA and VA approved, and we can help you purchase a home.
Lower your rate to 3.25%. Call Golden Oak, 567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Land.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
If you want to make smart choices about your retirement, listen to Straight Talk on Retirement this Saturday at a special time, 8 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
We're being shadowed today by Sierra Hancock. Before we go to the phones, and we are going to the phones, 969-KTRS, that's a 314-969-KTRS, or toll-free 888-550-KTRS. I wanted to tell you what she was just telling us off the air. She's from Tennessee. She lives in Franklin, Tennessee. But she goes to Webster, and I asked you why Webster. Tell them what you told me. You looked at several schools.
Yeah, I went to a couple of schools in Tennessee and visited them. And then one of my best friends went to Webster. And so he was like, come check it out, you know, see how you like it. So me and my grandmother took a trip. It's about five and a half hour trip. We came up here and, I just loved it. As soon as I stepped on campus, I felt like I was a student, even though it was July, you know,
wow.
I felt like I was already studying at Webster. And so me and my grandmother just knew it was the best place. And plus the financial aid really helped a lot.
Webster owes us a big check.
Yeah.
The commercial we just did for them. Now, you mentioned your grandma. Are your parents around? Or?
Yeah, I live with my grandmother, but I still have a relationship with my parents. But living with my grandmother, I started in senior year. So, yeah, she's just a really big role model in my life, and she's just really helped a lot. So,
well, I'm not going to get too personal. That's why you don't live with your parents, so we'll just leave it at that. But you obviously, your grandma has raised you for the last couple of years.
She has.
Okay.
She's.
We're going to take some calls. They may be for you, they may be for us, but here we go. First up is Michael. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hey, gang. How's it going?
Great. What's up?
Well, I was so impressed by this young journalist here that I thought I'd come out and tell my story, and hopefully she'd add to the interview.
All right. If his story is interesting, would you like to interview him?
Sure.
All right. What you say, Michael, say hi to Sierra.
Hi, Sierra.
Hi, Michael.
Michael, what's your story?
I used to be a ground level person on one of the for one of the largest organized marijuana smuggling companies in the United States.
Oh. Now, are you pulling our leg, or were you really?
Nope, really was.
And you're out of it now.
It was called the company.
And you're not in it now.
No, they were busted, and they were actually featured on 60 Minutes.
And how did you not get busted?
I was too far down the chain.
The chain. So your job, your participation was essentially what? What did you do?
Just ground level distribution, taking the product and getting it to the masses.
How did it get to you?
I worked for. I guess you could call me a subcontractor because I worked for a guy who essentially. That was my brother-in-law. He would get a ticket mailed to him, a one-way ticket to Florida, and he'd get down there, and there'd be a car waiting for him, and he'd drive it back, and it'd be loaded.
Wow!
Usually, and he got to keep the car. It was usually like a big, a Pontiac Fury or Plymouth Fury or something like that.
He got to keep the car?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, I have other questions, but I'm not going to ask them. I'm going to let Sierra ask you.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go, Sierra. You're a journalist now. You got this guy on the phone.
Well, first of all, let me first say that the couple of questions that she came out of the gate with were great. You know, awesome way to start the show. And Frank, Grater's response. I totally dig what you're saying about the Arbitron. I can't find anything out about it. It's just ridiculous.
No,
so.
It is ridiculous.
You guys are great. I pray for better sales for you too, man.
Hey, if I could in any way just have 30 minutes with every advertiser who's seriously interested in spending some real money to get real results, I would show them a whole different world and a different way to buy advertising. And it's just frustrating that people are so susceptible to the sales pitches of people who are lining their own pockets and don't have the good of the advertiser in any way.
I understand that, but you got to understand, if you got one of the unique product, which you do, and it's one of the best in St. Louis, it speaks for itself. So if there's a way that you can engage your consumers in word of mouth, maybe a kickback, or engaging them in your sales where they're actually pitching for you and they get something out of it. To me, that worked for me back in the day because I had a unique product. I had something that nobody else in town had, and it was at a price that nobody could match.
So. Well, I know what my next couple of questions for you would be, but I want Sierra to do this. Sierra, he's all yours. His name is Michael. He was a ground man for a big marijuana ring, and he's out of it now. A bunch of people got busted. He was at a low enough level he didn't get included. What do you want to ask this guy?
Well, what enticed you to want to be a part of the business?
Well, obvious
money.
The first was the product. I'm telling you. I mean, I just, got a hold of it, and I was like, "This is a unique product, and it was better than anything else that was in town at the time, and the price was great." And then I had the opportunity later to get on it. It was about a year after I started using the product that I was asked to be part of the distribution of it.
All right, go ahead. Keep asking questions. Just keep going.
How many years did you do the distribution?
I was in the tail end of the company. They were started back in the late 60s, early 70s by three fellas from my hometown in Wood River. And I can go ahead and say it because, like I said, they were on 60 Minutes. They were interviewed and stuff. So by the time I got in, they were busted 2 years later. So I had a good two-year run.
Are they still in? Oh,
no, it's not your interview.
Wait a minute.
That's a good question. No, they're not in jail. They never, they did some, it was the first of its kind. And, I guess the government didn't know how to deal with it. So, there was a lot of, resources, that came out of it that they claimed. So I think that kind of paid them off, and got them off their back, probably turning in some other people, maybe, closer connections to the source or something like that.
And by the way, Sierra, this guy is a great interviewer, and I'll tell you why. He's not a yes and no answer person.
Exactly.
He just takes it. Mm-hmm. But you, when you sense the end of when he's about ready, you get about a half-second pause. You got to just hit him with your next question. What is your next question? But he's a great interviewer. Go ahead. What's your next question?
How much of the marijuana did you keep for yourself?
Out of what? How much in a day? How much in a week?
All right.
Let's go by the day.
Good question. Let's talk numbers. At my level, I was probably turning about a quarter pound a day.
Wow. So what was the most thrilling part of the job?
Well, I guess, being a top dog in school and, in town, having something that nobody else had was pretty cool.
Now, one of the things you wouldn't have in the real world is you wouldn't have a situation where you're thrown in to ask a guy questions you had no time to prepare. You'd have time to plan some questions. So I'm going to just step in because I'm curious. This is just my own curiosity.
Sure.
Michael, in the time you did this, how much money do you think you made?
Good question. Probably, we're talking at least 50 to 75 grand.
And over what kind of time period?
2 years.
Okay. Not bad for a part-time job.
Well, it's a funny story. At the time, I was also a pretty competitive BMX rider, and my mom gave me an allowance, $20 a week, and I had other activities. I was a good student.
How old are you when you got that allowance?
Well, I mean, my mom always gave me allowance. I grew up a very responsible kid.
But how old were you?
At that time, I guess, 8th grade, 9th grade.
Okay.
So 14, 15.
And you can't say to your mom as an 8th grader, "Mom, are you kidding? I can make more money than this selling dope."
Yeah.
Oh, heck no.
Can't do that.
Matter of fact, she made a comment, which was what I was getting to. She said, Michael, you're just so good with your money. I felt so bad, but for about five seconds.
Yeah. Now, if this stuff was so good, I'm sorry, Sierra, but if it was so good, where was it grown that it was such great quality? Where'd it come from?
Well, it was called Colombian Gold.
Let me see where that could be from.
Right. It was like there was back then there were, Acapulco Gold. There was a song about that. And there was regular Colombian and there were Panama Red and all these different kinds. And they were okay. And the really bad stuff was from Mexico. And that, I don't know if you remember back in the day, they were really trying to put a stop to the stuff, and they were putting paraquat on the Mexican weed. One of the, I forgot who was the president at the time, he called for that. So there was a big ban, you know, is this Mexican, you know, and you could tell by looking at it.
All right, now listen, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you, do you still smoke?
You know, I stopped after out of high school as an athlete, went to college, and da-da-da-da. Fast forward in my adult years, you know, I guess part of the trend is, you know, trying to sample what's out there again. And, yeah, I mean, I've tried it again. You know, I'm not somebody who's in it that deep for sure, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think it's going to bring down the nation. Well, if anything, as much money as I made, it can save the country, I think. And well, I'm a fine person, you know.
Well, here, apparently a lot of people agree with you because we really are on the verge of legalizing it for the whole country. I mean, that's right down the road. It's obvious because state by state, it starts with medicinal, then okay, personal use only, and it's coming. We got to run. Michael, thank you for the call. You were a great interview for Sierra. I appreciate it.
God bless. Good luck to you, Sierra.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Here's your worst nightmare. I'm Michael. Ask me a question. Go ahead.
The situation?
Yeah, the same thing. I'm Michael. Ask me a question.
Okay. So what did you call the marijuana when you got on the phone? Did you have a code name for it?
No.
What was the worst thing about smuggling the marijuana?
I don't know.
Can you answer a question without saying yes or no?
Yeah. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah, he was great.
He was fantastic.
He kept it on it.
He really was. Okay, we'll take some more. We'll take one more call, then we'll take a break. This is Kevin. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. My family and I did that Arbitron thing before we got set up with it and sent it all back to them.
So you didn't even participate?
Oh, no. We did it for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. What form was it in?
What, sir?
What form was it in?
Radio mostly, but you were supposed to keep this little pager thing with you for the, you know, while you were awake, and it didn't matter whether it was TV or radio or what have you.
Oh, so
So I drove a big truck and I kept it hung on the CB cord, and they'd call up and say, hey, you know, you're not wearing it enough, and your kids aren't wearing it enough, and it was all for my kids. You got paid so much a day to wear it.
Yeah, and it's a joke, as you probably found out once you were part of it. It's an absolute complete joke.
I felt it was, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
So the one guy so far we found who's been part of the Arbitron ratings, even by his own admission, you know, if you're wearing that stinking meter and you're in a cab and the cab driver's listening to a Bosnian radio station, this rating service tells advertisers that you listen to Bosnian radio. It's an absolute joke. It was a joke the old way, and it's a joke the new way. One more quick one. This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, is this Open Line Tuesday?
It absolutely is.
Well, I'm aiming the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Sierra, say hi to Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Jim. I mean, hi,
no,
Sierra.
You're Jim.
So I've got a question, I guess, regarding, like you said, the advertising of the individual. Like, let's say, for example, I don't mean to curse on your program.
Well, then don't.
Okay, well, McGraw, McGraw.
Yeah.
Like, let's say he does an ad for R&R Sanitation.
Okay, which he does.
He's the only one who usually does most of the ads
for
that.
Right.
But does he set that up with himself?
No. No, the station does that.
Oh, so does he get a percentage of the renewal each time that's advertised?
You know, I don't know his deal. It could work. That's his business, but he could get paid an amount of money for every time it runs. He could get paid one flat amount at the time he records it. It could work any one of a number of ways. His deal and mine are night and day, completely different. He's a salaried employee.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
I figured he was a salaried employee, but some of the other people that, you know, in your station and other stations like Glover and them, they have different ones. I was wondering if they go out and get that advertising themselves and they get a percentage of it.
Usually the station gets it because, again, they are those people, and I don't know the one guy you mentioned, I don't know anything about him, but they usually are salaried, and then to sort of sweeten the pot, they charge the advertiser more if a personality does the commercial, and then the personality gets a little fee every time they do it.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, you bet. Thank you. Yeah, there was a name in there. I didn't know who that was. Sally, how are you? Sally, that's you.
Yes,
I got 1 minute. It's yours. What's up?
Hey, Frank. Yes. I'm going down to Salem, Missouri in regards to this Finian dog, Phineas, that has been stolen. And we need all of the people we can get to come down here to save this dog. This is a search. We've got a guy coming down with a dog named Gunner. He was stolen out of a vet facility and due to go to court on Thursday. And now the dog has mysteriously come up missing. We are going down, and we ask Frank, being a dog lover, to please put it out for people to come down and help us save this poor dog who has done nothing wrong. We are being the voice for the dog.
All right, here's the problem we have. I'm out of time, and I don't know the whole story.
I know a little
bit
about it.
Peon's going to fill us in after the news when we break and come back. But what you're wanting basically is what? People to go where?
Please, volunteers, come down to help us find the dog that has been mysteriously taken from this vet place that they were supposed to protect the dog until Thursday's hearing.
Okay.
We're on our way now, and we need all the support we can get for volunteers. Please, Frank.
All right, I'll let Peon fill me in. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you very much. I'm AM and PM
for
Sam
I don't want to cut it. You know, you can't do it justice. You'll have to tell me what this is about. I think I heard bits and pieces on the news, but I don't
know. It's a terrible story.
The whole story. All right. There's a company called Window World, and you've heard of them. You've heard of them not just here, but they advertise all over the place. Well, what I'd like for you to know is that even though Window World is a national franchise, locally, there are a couple of guys, John and Jim, who own Window World here. One office is in Illinois. One's in Missouri. And they're local people. They are just like that guy down the street that has the dry cleaners or a restaurant. They're your neighbors. And I think it's important to know that, because sometimes a national business, a franchise business, it has no personality because it has no person connected with it you can relate to. This one does. The other thing I want you to know is even though it's a national product, you'll get the feeling when you deal with Window World that they only put windows in homes in the St. Louis area. And that's the way you should feel. You should feel like you're doing business with a local company, even though you're doing business with a company that sells more replacement windows than anybody else in the United States. There's a reason for that. It's called value. Getting your money's worth. $189 gets you a lot of window from Window World. You can get other windows for $189, but they're not Window World windows. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. That's the website you want. Window World. Don't go away. 4 o'clock. Big 550.